Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I mentioned we're looking at Luke chapter 4 today. Just want to highlight verse 22. They kept saying, isn't this Joseph's son? You've heard that old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. I'm going to ask those who are married for 25, 30, 40, 50 years, you know each other pretty well, right? Does familiarity breed contempt? Frustration sometimes? Maybe a little bit of, here we go again. But contempt? I don't know if that's quite right. A lot of you know the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. It was written by a 19th century pastor by the name of Phillips Brooks. Probably don't really know him at all, but interestingly, he had a comment on this familiarity breeds contempt phrase. He said, familiarity only breeds contempt with contemptible things among contemptible people. As we look at the town of Nazareth, I think we would say they're contemptible people. And so there's this whole familiarity breeds contempt thing with Jesus that we'll get into as we go along here. But, I mean, they looked at Jesus and they just couldn't see him for who he was, even though he time and time again proved that he is who he said he was. I mean, they knew him. You look at what happened there as he came into the synagogue. You know, he came in and everyone, he just, you know, visiting rabbis would often get up and preach, just show up on a Saturday morning and preach. He reads from the book of Isaiah, kind of like we do, and then instead of standing to preach, he sat down for his sermon and basically just said, hey, look, the words I just read, that's me. And it's happening right here in front of you. And I'm sure there's some people who were kind of scratching their heads at first, but, you know, he just, as he talked, it was, maybe you'd use the term mesmerizing if you're not looking at it from a spiritual perspective, that they were just these words of wisdom and gracious words that just dripped from his mouth as he talked. Wow, what a great speaker. What a great guy. Doing all kinds of neat things. And they were a little bit prideful. You know, hey, he's one of us. You know, you hear that in Minnesota a lot. Hey, they're one of us from Minnesota. We make all the Minnesota connections, you know. But, you know, things didn't kind of stay that way. I mean, they spoke well of him. They were impressed by the words of grace that came from his mouth. And they knew that he had performed miracles. They knew that he was popular. This is still part of his popularity days of his ministry. And, you know, at the very least, they could look at him and say, well, this is a prophet of God doing things by God's power. But, boy, you know, the more they thought about it, they couldn't even do that. And then, as Jesus kind of pulled at the thread a little bit with them, I mean, it all just unraveled. You know, Jesus says to them, he confronts them about this whole thing, about taking pride in who he is, remembering who he was. You know, oh, I remember when you were this big. They look at him and they didn't see him for who he was. And so Jesus pulled at the thread and he said, no prophet is welcomed in his hometown. And they're kind of thinking to themselves, hey, we're welcoming you. We're giving you the pulpit for the day. But then he points out some pretty amazing things. He points out for the people that, you know, history proves me right. You may like me now, but just wait. Think about when Elijah could have gone to anyone among the people of Israel, but God sent him to a foreigner, because the people had rejected him. And think about when Naaman the prophet was healed of his leprosy. He too was a foreigner that God showed grace. Oh, did that frost their cake? I mean, things changed really quickly. The more he went on, the more he talked, the more he, you know, tweaked their noses, pulled at the thread, the more he challenged them, really. the harder it became. The gospel writer Luke fills us in a little bit more on what some of the thinking was. It says that they were filled with rage. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that's been given him that he even does miracles? Remember, just a moment ago, they were awed by the gracious words. How great he was that he was from Nazareth. And now they're turning on him just that quickly. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? Yeah, because Jesus said no prophet is accepted in his hometown, and they didn't like it. They liked being who they were, thinking what they thought. And Jesus challenges them, and they react. To them, he was simply Joseph's son. He had sisters still living in town. He was a carpenter. They probably ate at a table that he made. And now here he is performing miracles. Well, you know, okay, that's one thing. But then he claims to be the promised Messiah. He dares to point out our sin. And even worse, he dares to forgive them as if he is God. Who does he think he is? See, those contemptible Nazarenes, they thought they knew Jesus. They thought that they were so familiar with him that he couldn't possibly do the things that he said he could do. And that's kind of the irony of the whole thing. Because, you see, they didn't really know Jesus at all. They thought they knew him. They thought they knew everything about him. But they didn't actually know him to be able to actually believe in him. Otherwise, they would have accorded him every honor. They would have treated him as the royal king, the son of David that he was. They would have received him and welcomed him and honored him and, yes, worshiped him. Instead, they became so angry. So angry, so filled with rage, they were going to kill him. You know, you've heard the expression, run somebody out of town on a rail. They were going to just throw the rail right over the cliff. And Jesus with it. That's how angry they were. Now, we know the end of the story. Jesus just walked through them and went on his way and went back to his ministry and, you know, left them sort of fumbling around like Bert and Ernie in It's a Wonderful Life, you know, when their Clarence disappears and they're just left fumbling. I always think that's what it looked like when Jesus just walked through the crowd. They just sort of lost him. In some ways, it's unbelievable. And, you know, Mark tells us that even Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. But I think we can understand the contempt. Or at least we can understand the indifference, right? Those of you who live here in the Twin Cities, you know, you ride around town, and you go here and you do your things, do all that stuff. And then somebody arrives from out of state. I was recently doing a wedding where the family was from South Dakota. And they kept saying, man, I just can't get used to all the trees. All the green trees and the beautiful architecture. And everywhere you look, there's a sparkling lake. I mean, if you're not used to that, if you're like from Southern California, I mean, yeah, you got the ocean, but if you live inland at all, you're like, what's with all this water? We just kind of get used to it. We just kind of take it for granted. You know, it's there. And then all of a sudden somebody comes along and points out, and you're like, oh, yeah, that is kind of neat. Sometimes I think we get so used to Jesus being around, so familiar with him that we kind of got to take him for granted. Maybe we don't treat him necessarily with all-out contempt, but certainly there's an apathy that creeps in, an indifference. Maybe we don't breed contempt among us, but it certainly breeds a taking for granted. I mean, has familiarity with your spouse or with your parents or with your kids? Has it been an excuse to maybe treat them harshly or take them for granted? Sometimes, maybe even treat with contempt? I mean, I don't think it's a far cry to see the difference or the similarities, I should say, between that and our familiarity with Jesus. Apathy for his word, a lack of zeal for living our faith. No, we aren't shoving Jesus out of our lives or trying to throw him off a cliff, but really, finally, what's the difference if we're just trying to just let him creep away from our lives or maybe even push him to the side a little bit? It's only a little bit further to go over the cliff. Does familiarity with the words of the Lord's Prayer cause you to not think about them when you pray them? I'm guilty of that. I'm so busy concentrating sometimes on the Lord's Prayer, trying to say it with the right inflection and emphasis and not trip over my words. It's like it's hardly even a prayer at that point. I've so lost focus on it. His familiarity with the Lord's word, kind of like, well, I've heard that passage so many times, I don't need to look at it, I don't need to think about it. Familiarity with the Lord's Supper caused you maybe to just kind of, oh, I'll just go up, not really examine yourself, prepare yourself. Or maybe it's caused you to just sort of not participate for a long time because, it'll always be there. I think we have to admit to ourselves that when we take a closer look at our hearts and our actions, our words, we're guilty of familiarity with Jesus, familiarity that leads to sin. And like that reunion in Nazareth, as we look back on it, we can't shake our heads but marvel at what we're capable of. But you know what's even more striking about all this? It's that whether it's you and me or those Nazarenes, that Jesus just walked through and kept carrying out his ministry. You know, he could have struck everybody down. Just, I'm done. I've had enough. Zap, 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 zap. Lord, I'm coming home. I've had enough. But he didn't. He walked through the crowd, didn't hurt anybody, walked through the crowd and went on to his ministry to carry out his mission of salvation. You know how familiar he is with you. I know how familiar he is with me. And familiarity in that case could really breed contempt. Let's be honest. We are worthy of his contempt. But all familiarity with you did was cause him to carry out the Lord's plan of salvation. All it did was bring out his compassion for you and me. All it did was build in him that love to see that need for us and for our salvation and to give himself over in your place and mine to make sure that you and I, we would never be thrown over that eternal cliff into damnation, but that we would be saved and loved and nourished. That we would never be treated with contempt by our Heavenly Father, but only welcomed with love. And so he comes, carrying out his ministry, adopting you in baptism, strengthening you through his word and his Holy Supper, forgiving your sins in holy absolution, proclaiming the gospel, preaching salvation. Don't take him for granted. Value that sweet message of forgiveness and grace each and every day. Recognize the fresh start that he gives you each day to respond with lives of thanksgiving, rejoicing that his familiarity with you never bred contempt, but only love and salvation. Amen.